Our scripture reading tonight is found in 2 Timothy 3. We'll read the entire chapter. This is the word of the Lord. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Thus far we read God's Word. The text tonight is verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. In this epistle of 2 Timothy, the experienced, seasoned minister of the gospel, the Apostle Paul, writes to the younger, the rookie preacher, Timothy, to encourage him in his work. Timothy needs that encouragement as he's serving in the pastorate in the church of Ephesus. Paul at this time is a prisoner. He's imprisoned for a second time now in Rome. And this imprisonment is going to end with Paul being a martyr. Now he writes to Timothy, this young preacher of the gospel whom Paul trained, as he took Timothy with him on his missionary journeys, and he encourages him in the work that he must do as a young preacher. I said Timothy needed that encouragement. He needed that encouragement because of what was going on in the church at Ephesus. There were those who were trying to bring in false doctrines into the church. There were troubles in the church. There were evil men. There were seducers who waxed worse and worse in the church at Ephesus. In the light of all of that, the Apostle Paul comes to Timothy and says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of. This is a word of encouragement to Timothy in the work that God had given him to do as a preacher of the gospel. Although this is a word that certainly has application for ministers of the word. It's also a word that has application on this event. As three young ladies in the church have come forward to confess their faith in Jesus Christ. It's an important word for you. But it's also an important word for the congregation, made up of those who have confessed their faith in Jesus Christ as well. The Word of God to us is continue in the things that we have learned. Continue in those things that we know, that we are convicted of, that we have the assurance of in our hearts. This is an important word. An important word for all of us, yes, but especially an important word for the young people of the church. It's an important word for all of us and for the young people especially, first of all, because the idea of the text is this. You make a confession. Now the idea is continue in that. Live out of that. My comments to the three young ladies earlier lead into this. Because the Word of God here is saying that you have a calling now. A calling to live out of the confession that you've made. We all have a calling to live out of this confession. And it's not something we live out of when we go to church on Sunday. We do then, but it's not just then. It's not just when we're in young people's. It's not just when we're in Bible study. It's not just when we're with other believers. But the idea here is that in every part of life, in every moment of life, we have the calling to continue in the things that we have learned. Understanding that there are going to be attacks. Understanding that there are going to be extremely hard times. You don't know what lies ahead in your lives. We don't know what lies ahead in our lives. But no matter what happens, this is a word of God to us. Continue in the things that you've learned. Continue in the things that you are assured of. The idea is that as those who have confessed our faith, there are targets on our backs. Satan's after us. His hosts are after us. The wicked world is after us. Now this is a word to encourage. Continue in the things that you have learned. But secondly, this is important because the Word of God sets the bar very high. It sets the bar very high for the three of you and for all of us who have confessed our faith. The expectation that the Word of God has of you and that God Himself has of you in the future is that you live out of the instruction that you have received. You may have thought it was daunting to come before the consistory and give answers to questions, not knowing exactly what all those questions might be. You may have thought that was daunting and difficult. And maybe a bit relieved when you left the room that night or that morning. But that's nothing. Nothing compared to the calling that's set before you in the Word of God tonight. The bar is set high for you. What's expected of you as you are called to live out of this confession that you make tonight. That's much different than what the world says. The world says to young people today, young people of your age, what's expected of you is that you would be irresponsible goof-offs. That you would have now this time in your life to have a good time, to party, to experiment, to sow your wild oats. That's what the world says, but not the Word of God. The Word of God knows of no idea. But the expectation of God Himself is that you become more holy in your lives in the days ahead. So we keep that in mind tonight as we consider this Word of God under the theme, continue in the things you have learned. We look first at the things learned, secondly at the high calling that follows from that, and then finally at the encouraging reasons. We have to consider first, what are these things that we have learned and that we have been assured of? Well, first of all, when we answer that question, we have to look at the contrast that is found in the text. That first word of the text, but, is an important word. It carries great force here in the text. There's a contrast between what's said here in the text and what has gone before. The contrast here is what the calling is of God's people in contrast to what we read in verse 13 of the evil men and the seducers who shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This stands in contrast then to what we have learned and what is expected of us as those who have confessed the truth of God's Word. The things that we have learned stand in contrast then to the things of this world. Stands in contrast to those who are evil men and seducers who may even come into the church. Well, what are these men like? Well, if you go earlier in the chapter, they're described more fully. They're the men of the world. The men of the world of that day. Verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." The idea is that these men have a love for one thing and one thing only. They have a love for self. They're in love with themselves. They're blinded by that. That determines everything that they do. And really, that's why that comes first there in 2 Timothy 3. Everything else that's described in the verses that follow of sins and so on flows out of that selfishness. They live out of their selfishness in their lives. Paul says that this is going to describe the men of the perilous times in the last days. These days of which Paul speaks are the days in which you and I live. We live in a world in which men do not see past the nose on their faces because they're so concerned about themselves and only themselves. Because that's true. We live in a world that is morally bankrupt, in which men live out of their own sinful lusts. We live in a world that is pleasure hungry, that seeks and desires pleasure no matter what the cost. That's what the world seeks after. Not only that, but there's license in the world today and in the church world today for all kinds of gross immorality. All kinds of gross immorality is practiced in the world and even in some churches today. So that men with men and women with women is even accepted, not just in society, but even in some churches. And when the church speaks out against this, when the church speaks out against the ungodliness of the age, then the faithful church is targeted with accusations of being narrow-minded and intolerant and unloving. But in contrast to all of this, that's what's found in the world. Paul emphasizes to Timothy and to the church the things that we have learned. These are the truths of the Word of God that we have heard confessed tonight by these young ladies. The rich, refreshing fountain from which these truths come is the Holy Scriptures. And the text speaks of that too. It's from the Holy Scriptures. In verse 15, the text speaks of that, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The things that we have learned have come from the Holy Scriptures. What an amazing gift the Holy Scriptures are. The Word of God to us. By a great wonder, the wonder of inspiration. So that what we have in the world today, right here in our Bibles, is the infallible Word of God. The authoritative Word of God to us. And this is what the Scriptures teach us. The Scriptures have taught us that there is another dimension to life that we don't see with our eyes. Oh, there is that dimension of life that we see with our eyes. There, of course, are the cell phones that we have, and the cars that we have, and the homes in which we live, and our family and friends who are all gathered together. And the things of this earth that we enjoy, the things of this earth we enjoy in the summertime, the beauty of the creation around us, all of the rest. These are the things that we see with our eyes. But the Word of God says to us, there's much more than that. There's another dimension to life that you don't see with your eyes, but you do see with the eyes of faith. These are the things that are found in the Word of God. What are these things of the spiritual dimension? Well, first we see with the eyes of faith the invisible God. The God who is the Creator and the owner and the ruler of all things. You've learned about Him. You've learned about God, the Creator of all things. You've learned about His sovereignty. You know His rule over your life and all things that happen in the world today. He's the one who has created the heavens and the earth. But also, we have learned about our relationship to Him because of His grace. We've learned about ourselves in relationship to Him. What we understand about ourselves in relationship to Him is that we're sinners. We have transgressed His commandments. We violated His law. We deserve His wrath and condemnation. But we know this also, that God has set us free from the bondage of our sins. He has redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're those who have been bought with the price of His blood and set free from the punishment of our sins and the power of sin in our lives as well. So through the working of the Holy Spirit, we've been changed. We've been changed in our very hearts and changed then in the way that we live as well. Through the working of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we repent of our sins and we're sorry for our sins and we desire to live in obedience before God. But there's something else to all of these things that we have learned. It's not just the doctrine that we have learned. It's not just these things that we have learned, even about ourselves. But having learned the doctrines of the Holy Scriptures, we've learned as well to apply them to life. Because we are saved by grace, and it's God's grace that has transformed us, it follows that we have a desire to live the life that grace teaches us to live. That's the idea of what you find in the very next book of the Bible, in Titus. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, this is what God's grace teaches us about how we are to live, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And why is it that we do that? Verse 14 says, who gave Himself, that's our Savior Jesus Christ, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So now this is true of us. Instead of loving self, we have learned to love God. Instead of serving self, we have learned to serve God. And we've learned to serve those around us. Instead of rebellion, we have learned obedience. Instead of lust, we have learned holiness. This is what we have learned by the grace of God about God and how we are to live as well. These things that we have learned are described in two other ways in the passage. The first one is this, that these are the things that you have learned from the time you were little children. We read of that in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That word child here refers to an infant. The idea is that from the first time that you had consciousness, you were taught and you learned the things of God and His Word. That was what Paul was saying to Timothy, and that was true of Timothy in his life. Timothy, as a young child, learned the things of God. He learned the things of God from his mother. If you go back earlier in the epistle in chapter 1 to verse 5, we read of that. Paul makes mention of that here to Timothy, where he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The instruction that Timothy received was from his godly mother, probably not from his father. His father was a Gentile. His father was a Greek, probably an unbeliever. But the instruction in the truth of God's word that Timothy received was from his mother, Eunice. And that was an instruction that Eunice had received from her mother, from Lois. And that's the beautiful truth that you have brought out here, this idea that Timothy as well was one who was instructed in the line of generations in the church. He received beautiful covenant instruction as that instruction was handed down from one generation to the next. Beloved, that's the good instruction that so many of us have received in our homes, in the good Christian schools, and in the churches as well, as we have grown up and matured in the church. There's a time to give thanks for that. There's a confession of faith. It is a time to give thanks for that godly instruction given in these ways, this gift of God to us in this way. What a great blessing from God that there is such instruction, and that these young people who confess their faith tonight receive that instruction in their homes and in the schools and in the church as well. But what's so beautiful about it is that the Holy Spirit used that instruction and worked in their hearts so that that instruction lives in their hearts and they believe the truth of God's Word. So these things that have been learned, that we have learned, are the things we learned, most of us, from the time that we were little children. But also the text says about these things that these things are the very content of faith. These are not just the things learned, but the text says this as well and has been assured of. The idea is that this is a matter of faith that we're talking about. That's the idea that's found as well in verse 15, which speaks there of these things in the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What we're talking about here in these things is the very content of faith. What we're talking about here is what is a matter of conviction. These young people have confessed that which they believe, that which they're convicted of and know to be the truth of the Word of God. So that they can confess nothing else. That's true of us too who have confessed our faith. It's a matter of conviction. But it's more than that. It's also a matter of blessed assurance. These things that you have learned are not just some things floating around in our heads that have no significance for life. These are the things that we're assured of. This here speaks of the assurance of faith. And that's what we've heard tonight as well. There's an assurance of that which was confessed tonight. And the assurance is this: we are sinners saved by the amazing, powerful, wondrous, effectual, transforming grace of God. It's a conviction and an assurance of this. I'm a sinner. I know that. But I know too that all of my sins are forgiven. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and paid for every last one of those sins. Even the sins of youth, the sins of the folly of youth, they are forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I know this. I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. I have a living relationship with Him because of God's sovereign grace. These are the things that you and I have learned. This is the assurance that we have, the conviction that we have by the grace of God. Now there's a high calling that follows from learning these things and having this assurance. And that high calling is this: continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. The main calling is this. The main calling is that in the entirety of our lives, we must be directed by the truth of God's Word that we have learned. In the entirety, every part of our lives, we must be directed by these things that we have learned and live out of them. The word continue has this idea, remain, abide, stay in these things. That implies a negative idea. That implies this, don't depart from these things that you have learned. Or to put it this way, picture a circle. And the boundary of that circle, the line of that circle, is all the things that you've learned. And you, as a child of God, are in that circle, living out of those things that you have learned. And the idea of the Word of God here is this, don't step outside of that circle. Don't depart from those things that you have learned, because the moment you depart from those things and step out of that circle, that's a place of great danger for you. On the other hand, when you're inside that circle, there's safety there. There's safety in the truth of the Word of God. Understand that this is a great battle for us in our own lives, that we not depart from the truth of the Word of God. That's true in many different parts and areas of our lives. That's important in the decisions that we make. That's important in the decisions that you as young people make. The Word of God says to you, don't depart from these things that you have learned in the decisions that you make. You have decisions to make about dating. You have decisions to make about marriage. There's always the temptation to step outside that circle and to depart from the things that you have learned. For a young man who confesses to be a Christian, and there's no reason to doubt that. For a young man who's good looking and you have so much in common and all of the rest, but yet who refuses to go to your church and wants to go to a church where they're holding on to serious errors that are in opposition to the Word of God. And the Word of God says then, in that decision that has to be made in regard to dating and marriage, continue in the things you've learned. Don't depart from those things. That's true in the economy in which we live. Decisions have to be made about work. A man loses his job. A woman loses her job. Especially for a family then, there is the danger that one would be tempted to do things that are in opposition to the Word of God. Maybe take a job in which a man has to work on the Sabbath day because he thinks he needs to pay his bills. And so he's stepping outside of the things that he has learned. Or for a man to send his wife off to work, maybe he's having difficulty finding a job. And instead of having the wife remain at home to care for the young children, he sends his wife out to work. Bills have to be paid. Instead of living out of the conviction of the Word of God that he has known and that he has confessed in his own life. Others maybe aren't happy with decisions that are made by the leadership of the church about relatively minor things, and they become all upset about those things. And they put aside their membership in that church and go to a church in which other errors are taught in regard to God's grace or covenant. And they're departing from the things that they have learned. So it's in those decisions you have to take heed to what the Word of God says here. But there's more to it than that. We're talking here about the way in which we live our lives on a daily basis. It's easy in our lives on a daily basis to depart from the things that we have learned. Don't forsake it when you're on the computer. Don't forsake the things that you've learned when you're Facebooking. Don't step outside of this instruction, the relationships that you have with your friends. Don't allow your relationships to be governed by your emotions. Don't allow your relationship to be governed by your own sinful, selfish desires. But instead, the idea is, in all parts of life, be guided by the sound biblical principles that you have been taught. This is the way of living out of the things that you have learned. That's our calling in every part of life. When you're with your friends, when there's decisions about what's going to be done in the weekend, and the kind of language that you use, and the way you're going to treat each other. Maybe someone's been unkind to you and mean to you, maybe even unfair to you. And then we like to treat others based on how they treat us. But understand, that's the way of continuing in my own sinful flesh. It's doing what I want to do. I'm in that moment being a lover of self instead of a lover of God. So the Word of God says, don't depart. Don't depart. Instead, live your lives continuing in the things that you have learned. Part of that instruction here indicates that you and I must continue to grow in the knowledge of God. There must be a desire to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So part of what the Word of God says to us tonight is, drink deeply of the living waters of the Holy Scriptures. Drink deeply of the living waters of the Holy Scriptures when the truth is preached and the church gathers for worship. Be faithful in the reading of the Word of God on your own. Be faithful in having a regular prayer life. Young people, it's an important word for you. Important word for you graduates. There's a realization now that if you continue on in education or you continue on in the workplace, life is going to be drastically different. For how many years you went to a Christian school and every morning when you got to school, what was just about the first thing done? You read the Bible and prayed. What was the last thing done at the end of the day before you left school? You read the Word of God and prayed, or at least prayed. What was done before lunch? You read the Word of God and prayed. That's a great blessing, but now that all changes. There's going to be much less of the Word of God heard because you're not at that school anymore. That shows the importance more and more of having a regular worship time for yourselves, and you young people having a regular worship time for yourselves, and being part of the family worship in the home as well. That we be active together in the study of God's Word in the church. All of that is part of this. That we continue to grow in the truth of the Word of God. But this also means then that we have the calling to live a life that's consistent with the truth that we confess. We do that in our relationships that we love as we have been loved, that we forgive as we have been forgiven, that we live out of the truth that God is holy and live lives of holiness ourselves. You see, we've been saved and created for this one purpose, for the glory of God. And that means then for our lives that what we seek in our lives is the glory of God in the way in which we conduct ourselves and live our lives in the midst of the world today. As I said to you earlier, the Word of God sets the bar very high for those who make confession of their faith. Here the Word of God sets the bar very high. Because the idea is this, the more you know of God and the more you know of His truth, the more responsible you are to continue in the truth and in godliness. Understand, in the midst of this world, we are representatives of Jesus Christ and of the church. And there is a responsibility that is resting upon us as confessing members of the church of Jesus Christ. God calls us to live out of this, to be faithful representatives of Christ and the church in the midst of this world. The bar is set high. And I point that out because in contrast to that high bar that is set before us tonight, the bar that's set by the world is way down here. It's about on the ground when it comes to young people especially. The message of the world today is that you young people have the right to live a carefree life at this stage. Do whatever makes you feel good. Do whatever makes you happy. Be governed by that. Follow your emotions. Have a time to experiment. Have a time to sow your wild oats. And parents in the world today expect almost nothing of their children. In the summertime, how many children aren't couch potatoes? They wake up as late as they want. They play video games until noon. Maybe they finally get out of their pajamas. And the rest of the day, they're talking with their friends, chatting with their friends, emailing their friends, Facebooking, whatever it may be. Then out with their friends at night as well. And that's the life that's set before us as ideal for the young person today. And understand tonight, this expectation that I set before you, this high bar is not my bar. It's not the bar of your parents. It's not just the bar of the church. It's the high bar that God Himself sets before you tonight in His Word. Now understand, this does not mean that the Word of God is expecting perfection. We cannot be perfect. I'm not setting before you the possibility that you can be perfect or near perfect. But the idea is this, that in your life there is a manifestation, there's an evidence, day by day, that more than anything else, you love Jesus Christ. And you seek Him. And you live out of that. And so that there's a certain expectation then for you in the way that you live your lives. That now as young people, you're more obedient to your parents than you were when you were 3 years old. I'm not kidding when I say that the expectation of many in the world today is that their teenagers are less obedient than a three-year-old. That's the expectation in the world today. That ought not to be the expectation of parents in the church of Jesus Christ. That ought not to be our expectation because of what we believe and confess. We believe and confess that God is a God who works by His grace in the line of generations. That He works in the hearts and the lives of our children and young people too. And so our expectation is that our children and young people show that more and more in their lives and that they're growing and maturing in their lives. So that by the time that they're teenagers, they don't need daily reminders to read the Bible and pray on their own. They don't need encouragement. They don't need reminders to be. We all do. We all need that. Because we can be so weak in that. But they don't need daily reminders. It shouldn't be anymore that those who are in high school need their parents to wake them up by 8 o'clock on Sunday morning to get out of bed so they can quick grab some breakfast and shower and get to church on time. No, young people who are growing and maturing, showing a love for the Lord, have a desire of themselves to be in church, to be together with the assembling of God's people. It should be that our young people and young adults don't need to be told that they should be in young people's or they should be in the young adult society. No, as they're growing and maturing, they have a desire to be there, to be with the other young people of the church and to grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. And the same thing should be true of each one of us in the church. And we shouldn't have to be reminded of that. But there's a desire that we all have to come together with God's people to grow in our knowledge of Him. I say this to young people because there are many biblical examples of young people who showed in their lives, by the power of God's grace, a love for the Lord. Young people just recently confessed their faith, studied that in young people's in the past. And this past year in the life of David, who as a young boy was entrusted with his father's business, caring for his sheep. There David is as a young boy, out taking care of all of his father's sheep. Kind of like today, a man who owns a successful business handing it over to his 13-year-old. That's what was done at that time. And David was a man of faith even as a young boy. As he grew up and went and fought the giant Goliath and the power of God's grace, knowing that God was on his side. That was true of Daniel and his three friends in Babylon. That was studied as well by the young people. Daniel and his three friends who stood for God and for the truth in the midst of that wicked land of Babylon. And just to give an example of a godly young woman in the church, consider the Virgin Mary, who's not very old, when a child was conceived in her, and her confession was a confession of faith by the power of God's grace in her. And even as we consider all of that and consider this Word of God to continue in the things that you have learned, understand, this is not something that we can do in our own strength. Yes, the bar is set high. But that same grace that was confessed tonight is the grace that enables us to obey this command of God. It's my prayer for you young ladies. It's my prayer for all of us that this Word of God would inspire us to new heights in our spiritual lives, in seeking Christ and in His way, in dependence upon His powerful grace. And this Word of God encourages us tonight in the reasons for continuing in the things that we have learned. The encouraging reason, first of all, is found in verse 14. Knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Remember, it's Paul here speaking to Timothy. He's saying to Timothy, remember from whom you received this instruction in the truth. Timothy received that instruction from his mother, Eunice. To a certain degree, from his grandmother, Lois. As I said earlier, probably not from his father, who was a Greek Gentile. Timothy also received spiritual tutoring from the Apostle Paul as preparation for the ministry of the gospel. Timothy traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys, and there he received instruction. And Paul is reminding him that he had received instruction from him also. Now this Word of God speaks to us tonight. It reminds us from whom we have received this instruction. You young ladies have received instruction. You received that instruction from your parents. You received that instruction to a certain degree from your grandparents who taught your parents. You received instruction in the Christian school as an extension of your parents. You received instruction in the church. Many of us, most of us, have received such instruction as well. From the time that we were little children, we sat on our mother's laps. Our mothers told us the Bible stories, introducing to us those stories of God's Word and of the power of God's grace. That instruction was given in the Sunday school classes. Psalter numbers were memorized. Passages of Scripture were memorized for catechism, for Sunday school, in the home, no doubt as well, and for school. All of that was the instruction that we have received. Now the question is this: why must this be a reason to continue in the things that we have learned? Well, first of all, it's because of this. Our instructors faithfully taught us the Word of God. They instructed us with God's Word, with that precious truth of the Word. And they gave themselves to that instruction, laboring with tears and with prayers as they were guided by the truth of the Word of God. As they themselves tried to set an example of godly living for us. That's why. But there's something more than that even. Consider from whom you have received this instruction. It's not just from the people in your life, but it's from Jesus Christ Himself. You see, the parents, the teachers, the ministers, and all the others who are used to instruct in truth were so many instruments in the Redeemer's hand to teach and instruct in the truth of God's Word. We must continue in these things because these things come from Jesus Christ Himself. And we know that when those things that we're taught are in agreement with the Word of God. So that's the first reason. Continuing these things, remembering from whom you have received them, from Christ Himself. Secondly, these things are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. These wonderful things that we have learned make us wise unto salvation. That's true only because of the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Wicked men can come to this knowledge, verse 7 of the chapter points that out, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's true of those who love only themselves. But the Word of God, by the work of the Spirit, gives to us true wisdom and joy. You see, this is the way of wisdom because it sets before us the only way to be freed from the bondage of sin. This is a word that declares to us that there is freedom from sin. You see, there's a word unlike it anywhere else. This word of the Scriptures, this word of the Gospel, alone gives that hope. And that's the beauty of this instruction that's given. It makes us wise unto salvation. It gives to us a knowledge of that salvation. This is how it is that we have the assurance of salvation. We have the knowledge and the assurance of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And that's what I need day by day. Because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace, redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's this very word that I read. It's this very word that I hear in the preaching of the gospel that makes wise unto salvation. This is why we must not depart from these things that we have learned. To depart from the things that we have learned is folly. It leads to bondage. It's outside of that circle. There's great danger out there. Because in the end, it's the way of following self. But when we continue in the things that we have learned, it's not just about having right doctrine. Right doctrine is important, but it's living out of the truth of the Word of God. And so we have the calling set before us tonight. Continue in the things that we have learned. Continue in that day by day. Continue in that moment by moment. Continue in that in the mundane of life. By the grace of God we will. This is the calling set before us. The bar is set high. It is. It's set high for you tonight. But don't be afraid. The same grace that enabled you to confess your faith and brought you to this point, that grace continues to lead and give strength so that you, by the power of that grace, will continue in the things that you have learned. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for the things that we have been taught. We give Thee thanks for a living faith that Thou hast given to us and to our children. And we give thanks, Father, that Thou hast called us tonight to live out of that in our lives day by day. That we would be those who do not depart from it, but instead that we would be those who continue in the things that we have learned. Give us much grace to live out our confession day by day. Forgive us when we don't. And assure us, Father, that we are sinners who are saved in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All these things we pray in Jesus' name alone. Amen.